Worth Repeating is made possible thanks to the support from the 80/20 Foundation, the Lifschutz Foundation, and Pasha Mediterranean Grill.
Some of the stories may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Worth Repeating podcast. I'm Tori Poole. This is the second part of a live storytelling event recorded at the Irma and Emilio Nicolas Media Center at Texas Public Radio in downtown San Antonio. The theme was found. From lost items to the things that come back, these stories are all about what returns. Can you think of something that you lost that came back to you? Our next storyteller is Beck Dominguez. Beck shares a story about a day she planned to stay in bed, but the universe had other plans.
So, I was 15 years old when I got diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder. And if you don't know what that is, it's a specific type of depression that hits during certain seasons and ends when the season ends. And my season was winter. And we called it tornado season. So this specific tornado season, it was New Year's Eve Eve. It was about 7 p.m. and I had not gotten out of bed. I was watching Glee on my iPod Touch. Whenever I heard my mom call from downstairs, "Becca, Chinese food." And that was one of her tactics, you know? Didn't work. Didn't get me to put on pants. So then I hear my mom shout from downstairs, "Becca, there's a puppy and a plant." And I'm like, that's a new tactic. Okay. That's not going to work. But then it gets louder. She's like, "Becca, Becca, come quick. There's a puppy and a plant." And, I'm like, I'm not going to win this. So I put on my pants. And I go downstairs, and lo and behold, outside in the freezing cold in a potted plant by our door is this shivering blonde creature thing. It was skin and bones and big black eyes. And it was a puppy. And I did not care. I was so depressed. I'm like, look at that. And then, well... And so my dad, like dads do, he was just like, "I don't want a dog. We already have a dog. We had a beagle." And so my mom and my sister tried to take it to the Humane Society in Corpus Christi. They were all full because in Corpus Christi, chihuahuas run around the streets like squirrels. Took it to the Humane Society. That didn't work out. I posted on Facebook the gif of Ollie from Family Guy going, "Who wants this dog?" And no bites. So then we put her in the garage. And from the garage, she made her way into the laundry room. And then from the laundry room, she made her way into a laundry basket in the living room. And then from the laundry basket in the living room, she was free. And she slept in my parents' bed. And we named her Nina Benina. I still did not want this dog. And so everyone was giving her so much affection. My mom and my sister loved this dog. My dad, as dads do after they have a dog for like a week, were like making her dance, like, din, 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 din. And this dog refused to not be loved by me. She would like sit in my lap and she'd shake her little butt and she would just lick me, like lick, 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 lick for like 5 minutes with her stinky breath. And every time she would pass by me, she would give me a little lick on my calf, like a little, just so I'd know that she was there. Then one day, about 2 weeks later, my mom is watching Joel Osteen, the televangelist, if you don't know the guy. And he said, "Sometimes God sends you a little dog." And And my mom, all the dramatics, my mom is like, Becca, the Lord sent you this dog. Joel Osteen said so. And I'm not going to let this televangelist tell my fortune. I still do not want this dog. So it takes about a year. And one day I'm just washing dishes begrudgingly. And it's raining outside. So I feel her back her little butt up against my leg. And she starts vibrating, like shaking against my leg. She's anxious. She has a trauma response. She was in a potted plant. And so I was like, I feel you. I'm a little anxious too. So I did to her what I do to myself. I picked her up. I put her in a dark closet and I locked the door. And she loved it. And I'm like, okay, maybe me and this dog like have some things in common. So another thing is that she loved depression naps. I was like, come on, Nina, it's time for our third nap of the day. And she's like, hell yeah. And she'd take a nap with me, right? But my favorite thing is whenever I'm crying, I don't like to be perceived. So I'm crying and I'm like, Nina, don't look at me. So she'll turn her head 90 degrees. So now it is 11 years later. She's a senior Wawa and she's my dog. She is my best friend. And so another thing, you know how she was all like little and tiny? Whenever our beagle passed away, she grew to be 4 times the size of a regular Chihuahua. She weighs about 25 pounds. And for scale, she's about half the size of my Mexican grandma. Yeah. And the thing, what I think happened was that we loved her so much that she grew, like how Emily Elizabeth loved Clifford. That he grew giant. She grew to be so large. And I still get sad, and tornado season still hits every year, but things got a lot better after I found the puppy in the plant.
This podcast is proudly supported by the 80/20 Foundation, dedicated to creating opportunities through education, community outreach, and meaningful impact. For this and more information, visit 8020foundation.com.
Our next storyteller is Sergio Velasquez. Sadhil shares a story about finding someone worth the wait.
My parents have been married for 63 years. And for reference, I'm 61, in case anyone's wondering. So I have a couple of siblings. They're funny, they're smart. We get along really well. It's a great family to be a part of. And that's what I've always measured my relationships against. When I graduated from college, I thought it was time to get married. So I found someone. I asked them to marry me. They said yes. We had a beautiful baby girl. And that kid was my moon and stars. And then we got divorced. And you can't imagine. Well, some of y'all can maybe. How hard that is, how gut-wrenching, how painful. So it kind of colored my dating for a lot of years. And dating for me was a series of, hey, it's great to know you, and oh, that isn't working, it's not me, it's you, or a couple of times, I'm leaving because you never put a ring on it. And so this is a saga that started 12 years ago, but it's hard to get a saga in on 7 minutes, so you have to bear with me. So about 12 years ago, I go to this meeting. It's an organization in town that helps students in high school be successful. So I go to this meeting, and they were talking about scholarships and other stuff. And I noticed someone across the room that was really, really pretty, beautiful eyes, a great smile. And I thought, I wonder what that person sounds like. Well, a few minutes later, they go up to the front. They're an officer in the organization, and she's really dynamic and real bubbly. And bubbly is not my thing, but I made an exception. I went to more meetings. So we get to know each other, and we occasionally talked about what was going on in the organization. And every now and then we'd meet for lunch because we were both really invested in the community, and we wanted to talk about that. And it didn't go further for a long time because we were otherwise involved. And this goes back and forth. Nothing really happens. And then those things change. And one day she calls and goes, would you like to go to a concert? And I thought, yeah. So we went. It was a little awkward. It was a different thing. And then, so I thought, I'll return that. And I had a setup at home with a video projector in the room, and I thought, I'll invite her over for a movie. So I asked. She said, yes, she came over. We watched The Man from Snowy River. It was great. Afterwards, I said, would you like to eat something? Would you like to get for me to fix you something to eat? And she said, yeah, I would. So we get up, and we're walking in the kitchen. She goes, what do you have? And so I start naming things off. I have cereal. I have corn dogs. I have burgers. Maybe a steak. And I remember looking at her, and she walked to my refrigerator and opened it up. And she looked at me, and she goes, you live like a little kid. And I thought, fair. And then... And then I also thought, wah, 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 this is done. So luckily it wasn't. We went through this, and like I said, you know, it went on for a long time. So sometimes we were more serious, sometimes not. The pendulum swung back and forth. And one day I get a text from her, and in the text is a snippet from a poem, Pablo Neruda, Sonnet 17. I know, right? And I think, maybe I've been misjudging this, because I was really afraid to move things forward because I was kind of a coward. I was not very courageous. So I found the courage to be more invested because I realized you're not assessing this correctly. So I was more involved, more engaged. We went on adventures. We spent more time together. I spent more time with her kids. So this continued for a bit. And then one day I thought, I really want to pursue this, and maybe started thinking about marriage. So I remember mentioning it to my mother, and my mother said, that's wonderful. I really like her. But you've got to remember that there are kids involved as well, and you've got to love them. So I thought about that, and I thought, I do. I can make this happen. So then I started thinking about how I could ask her to marry me. And I thought, hey, I know this place. It's great. And Wednesday nights is karaoke night. I can invite some people. So I invited my sister and some of our friends, and we all got together. So I thought, we'll get 10, 15 people together. It'll be a lot of fun. So Wednesday night, karaoke night. I planned this for 5 days. So, Wednesday night, she gets home, and I'm home before her, so it's probably clue number one. And I'd already engaged her daughter to help, to come with me and help out. And her daughter is super surly, super surly. Never wants to go anywhere with us, do anything with us. Barely talks to us some days. So I asked if she wants to go eat, my girlfriend, and She said yes. And then as I'm leaving, I yell up the stairs, "Hey, do you want to go eat?" Immediately, "Yeah, I'll go." So she comes down and she's all done up. She has makeup on, has a dress on. So away we go. So here's the way we set it up at karaoke. My friends were going to be there before, and her birthday was a week previous. So they were going to walk in and say, when she walked in, say, "Happy birthday." And we're going to frame it like a birthday party. So we're driving there, and I'm just thinking, oh, please let there be a few people there. So we get there, open the door. And immediately, about 40 people jump up and yell, "Happy birthday," and then start singing "Happy birthday." She's ecstatic and so surprised, as am I. So we go around and visit for a bit. And then a little while later, the owner goes up and she goes up and grabs a mic, karaoke night, calls me up. So I take the mic and I invite her daughter up. And she's wondering what's going on. And then I invite my girlfriend up. And as she's coming up, I extend my hand. And her daughter puts the box in my hand. And up until then, she probably got a pretty good clue what was going to happen. So I got down on the knee, which is not easy now. And I told her, I desperately want to be a part of your world for the rest of our lives. I'll do everything I possibly can to make you happy. Will you marry me? And she said, "Yes, I will." So next month, we get married. So, which is fantastic. You're all invited, all of y'all. So look me up on Facebook. But the poem, here's a catalyst to what made me start thinking about what I need to do. This is the snippet. "I love you because I know no other way than this. Where I does not exist, nor you, so close that your hand on my chest is my hand, so close that your eyes close as I fall asleep." Thank you.
This episode is proudly supported by the Lifshutes Foundation, a San Antonio-based charitable foundation committed to strengthening communities through philanthropy and support for meaningful causes. For this and more information, visit directory.tpr.org.
Our last storyteller is Michael Lopez. Michael shares a story about a cold night and an almost hopeless search.
So I enjoy a lot of things. I've been doing jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai for like 14 years. I play drums, into hot rods. I've got a 77 Camaro. Love playing chess. But anybody who really knows me knows that I'm a cat guy. Yeah, cats. And I got my cat in a really indirect way. About 15 years ago, while in college with my girlfriend at the time, we're killing time one weekend. We're at a pet store. Being the cat person that I am, we gravitate towards the cats. So we're playing with cats, hanging out. I have no intention of getting a cat. I just don't want the responsibility. But she falls in love with one. And she's getting a cat. And as we're checking out, we're asking the person who's helping us, you know, does he have a name? And without missing a beat, he says, "Yeah, Shitty Kitty." So I'm like, "All right, I got to hear this story." I'm like, "All right, what's the deal with Shitty Kitty?" So it turns out one of his favorite pastimes was flinging his crap from his litter box and watching the employees pick it up. So I was like, all right, he's cool. And we're leaving with Shitty Kitty. And I remember my girlfriend looking up at me and saying, you know, what should we name him? Because obviously that's not going to stay his name. And I suggested Snowball. And she liked it, so it stuck. And if you're trying to imagine him for the sake of the story, just delete everything because he was black. So fast forward maybe 8 months, and I get a text from her saying she's going to take him to a shelter because she's changing dorms and the new one doesn't allow pets. So I'm like, yeah, we're not doing that. I'll take him. That relationship eventually ends, but I got a cat out of it, so it's a win. Fast forward maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and a coworker is living with me. She's between places, you know, young, successful. But if I had to describe her, I would say she was book smart. But I feel like that's the intelligence description equivalent of, like, bless your heart. So if there's anybody out there that's been described as book smart, I'm sorry, but it's true. So I remember one really cold morning, much like the weather we had recently, I was leaving to work. She was actually off that day. I reminded her to leave our front door closed because our screen door had an opening just big enough for a cat to fit through. So she acknowledges, I leave to work. I come home about 8-9 hours later. I go upstairs, change clothes, shorts and a t-shirt. And then I find it weird that Snowball hasn't come around because he was super affectionate, total lap cat, super chill, just the best cat. I could grab him and put him over my shoulders like a necklace and he would just hang out. So I thought it was weird that he hadn't come around. So I go downstairs, I find my roommate and I say, hey, did you happen to leave the front door open at all today? And she just kind of gives me this, oh crap, look. So I'm like, how long? 4 to 5 hours? So my roommate had a husky, and I later found out that opening the front door and making our house really cold was her idea of recreating the Alaskan wilderness. Which was like, I don't know, trapping a lizard and putting it in a jar with a stick and a leaf. It just wasn't the same, but. So I beeline it outside. Now I'm in the freezing cold because of my idiot roommate. Sorry, my book smart roommate. And I'm looking for my cat. I'm looking for Snowball around the house. I don't see him. And I start to find myself further and further down the street. The further down the street I get, less hope I have. And I must look pretty stressed out because at one point, a woman pulls up to me and she asks me if I'm okay. I say, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just looking for my cat. But that wasn't really an honest answer to her question because what I wanted to say was, no, I'm not okay. It's freezing. My cat's missing. And every second that I spend with you is really cutting into my cat search time. So I felt a little bad for potentially being abrasive because she looked like a nice lady. She looked like somebody's mom. She wasn't my mom, so I didn't care about anything this lady had to say. So she asks me what he looks like and drives away. I continue my search. I'm in people's driveways. I'm in their yards. I'm on their porches. There's a lot of trespassing happening. Thankfully, rings didn't exist then because there would have been a lot of people with footage of me looking disheveled, saying Snowball repeatedly. So I'm looking. And at this point, probably 3 hours have passed. Still looking, and I'm freezing because I don't want to go home and change because I've convinced myself that as soon as I go home and change, that's when Snowball is going to shoot off his kitty flare gun and I can't miss it. So I'm still looking. And again, about 3 hours have passed and I've just like, okay, I'm going to start walking home. And as I'm walking, I hear a car coming up next to me. And I turn around and sure enough, it's the same lady. And I'm thinking, surely she's found my cat. Why else would she be here right now? She didn't have my cat, but she offered me a jacket. I politely declined the jacket, but what I wanted to say was, look, lady, I don't ever want to see you again unless Snowball's riding shotgun. So, politely declined the jacket. She drives away. I keep walking home. I get to my driveway. I'm like, all right, I'll give it one last try. I call him, and I hear a faint meow. And I can't tell where it's coming from. And I do it again, and then it's coming from my roommate's car. So I go up underneath the car. I look up in the engine bay, and he's just looking back at me, just dirty, like, dude, I made a bad choice today. Get me out of here. So I reach up in the engine bay. I grab him, take him inside. I clean him up, and just so much relief. I've never felt so much relief in my life. And so grateful that I found him, because we went on to have, you know, another 10 or 11 years of just best companionship. Unfortunately, I lost him to kidney disease like 3 years ago, but he was just the best cat, and I'm confident we'll find each other again someday.
That's it for the Worth Repeating podcast. Do us a favor and give us a like, subscribe, or review us wherever you stream podcasts. Worth Repeating returns this fall. Do you have a theme suggestion? Want to join the volunteer storyboard? Or maybe you just want to give us our flowers? We'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email at worthrepeating@tpr.org. Worth Repeating is made possible by the 8020 Foundation, Lifshutz Foundation, and Pasha Mediterranean Grill. Worth Repeating is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Tori Poole. Thanks for listening.